Anyway, it's good to be here with you tonight to continue this series in prayer. And a lady from the Western Highlands of Papua New Guinea actually taught me the lesson that you could have a real relationship with God. She'd come from a tribe that had only been hearing about Jesus for 20 years at the time, but she was the office lady at Christian Leaders Training College in the Western Highlands of Papua New Guinea. And I was there doing an audit job in the finance office. And while I was there on this occasion, the chief financial officer's wife lost her engagement ring. Now, I guess those of you who've got an engagement ring, you girls, wouldn't be very happy about that. And those of you who haven't are looking forward to it, eh? And you won't want to lose it, will you? Well, she lost it and she was mightily upset. We searched everywhere and the grounds and the house. She had two little kids, and so they sort of got the half the blame anyway. They must have picked it up and thrown it somewhere. And the days went by, and the office staff, including this dear lady from the Western Highlands, every morning at devotions, we prayed to the Lord about the situation. Now, this lady, she was well known for the fact that she could hear God speaking to her. And so she spoke to God. And I was sort of skeptical about this report. How could you get such a relationship with God? Well, the days went by, and poor Carlene, she was upset because her ring didn't turn up. But every morning, the dear lady that I'm talking about said, well, the Lord is silent about this. And I reckon this must have gone on for about 6 or 7 working days. And then one morning at devotions, this lady said, we don't need to pray about Carlene's ring anymore. It's going to be found today. Well, good old skeptical me, I sort of thought, how can that be? We have searched everywhere, and I reckon it's far, far away by now. So we worked through the day, and it got to about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'd forgotten all about Carlene's ring, actually, by then. And suddenly, poor Carlene burst through the doors of the office and ran into her husband's room. He was the chief financial officer, and the door was slammed, and I thought, oh, poor old Greg, I'm glad I don't have to deal with all this problem. Because I knew that Carlene was in tears. But you know, she wasn't any longer in tears about the lost ring. She was in tears because the ring was found. She'd gone to throw some scraps onto a banana palm, and she saw something glittering in the grass and went over, and it was her ring. Boy, that rocked me, I tell you. You know, God is a real father. And he does talk to you. And you can talk to him. Can I read you some verses from the Bible that I've found very helpful about prayer? Evan read one of them tonight. So God must want us to really know about this. You read from Isaiah 40, didn't you? Yeah. What do you think about this? Those who wait, and sometimes the English language translate that trust, those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. What about this one? Jeremiah. Who hasn't heard of Jeremiah? Because that's good. Jeremiah was a prophet. 29 verses 12 and 13. This is what God says. I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good, not disaster. Did you hear that? God's plans are good, they're not disastrous. To give you a hope and a future. Now listen to this. In those days, when you pray, I will listen. If you seek me, you will find me. Did you know that when Richard Print prays, and I'm just an ordinary guy, and when you pray, God promises he will listen. How about that? And I don't know why we don't pray more, eh? Here's a verse, Lamentations. Boy, this is a book that isn't read much from. Lamentations 3, verse 25. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. And you know, praying is depending on God. It's showing God, we're at our wit's end, really. We're depending on you. Now here's Psalm 27. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. What do you reckon about that? God says, come and talk with me. What's our response? My heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Do you ever say that to God? Lord, I'm coming to talk to you. That's not arrogant. God invites us. Come and talk with me. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Well, those are Old Testament verses. Some people think the Old Testament's old-fashioned and out of date, but it's not actually. But here's a few from the New Testament. Philippians 4, verse 6. Don't worry. Don't worry. You worried tonight about something? I have worries every day, actually. So I need to listen to this pretty carefully. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. You know, every day at my work, something comes across my desks that's a problem. Then, how am I going to handle this? What am I going to do? And it's very easy to worry. But I can tell you, honestly I can, even in my workaday life, the best thing to do when you're dealing with problems and worry is to pray. God really does answer you in your worries. Most times, it's not the way you would have handled the thing. Sometimes he does take a little while to give the answer, but he always does. So as you go through life, don't let worry overtake you, will you? Remember Philippians 4, verse 6. Don't worry. Tell God about your problems, pray to him. And finally, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. People often ask me, can you help me with God's will? And you do your best. But one of the things I know, this is God's will for every Christian here in this room. And it's this: don't stop praying. Well, what is prayer? Well, more than anything, it's an important way of growing a relationship with God. Remember the lady in Papua New Guinea? She had an amazing relationship with God. Prayer is the link that connects us with God. Now, prayer is more than asking God for things. A lot of people think prayer is just asking God for things. It's far more than that. And we've been learning about that. The best way for me to remember, anyway, what prayer is four letters. A-C-T-S. Would you like to repeat that with me? A-C-T-S, come on. A-C-T-S. Acts. And those four letters remind me anyway of what prayer is. First of all, A stands for adoration. Do you ever adore God? You ever tell him how great he is, how mighty he is? You know, believe it or not, my wife adores me sometimes. And I do my best to tell her too. Men aren't very good at adoring sometimes. But you know, all of us can just tell God how great he is. We had a reading from Psalm 66 tonight. There are lots of words in that prayer that we can use to tell God what we think of him. The one that came across to me tonight was, God, you are awesome. Because you can even dry up water. And you sort of think, God, you're the one that pushed back the Red Sea when your people were about to be slaughtered. And you allowed people to go over on dry land. And when the enemy tried to chase them, Lord, You brought back the waters and you destroyed by the breath of your mouth the enemy of the Israelites. Lord, who else can do that? You ever talk to God like that? This is adoring him. And let me tell you, the God that lived in Moses' day when that happened is still the same today. He's the God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Joshua, don't you love that story? People come to the river. It's in high flood. How are they ever going to get across? And God says to Joshua, don't worry, get the priests in with the Ark of the Covenant, and when the priests' feet touch the water will be banked up on one side and flow down the other, and all the people, and there are millions of them, will cross. Lord, you could even do that to a flooded river. God, you're awesome. Do you get the idea of adoring God? Last time, 2 weeks ago, I think it was Tony or Earl, talked about sleeping out under the stars and seeing the stars up above and seeing how God was so mighty. Tell God what you think of him. Just delight in him. That's praying. Because many people say, well, what on earth can I say to God? Start off by adoring him. Then the C. C is for confession. You know, when we know that we've really done something that we shouldn't have, when we've thought wrong thoughts, when we've gone the wrong way, it's so easy to get troubled and downcast about it, and rightfully so, I guess, but you know, there's one thing we can do. We can pray. Oh God, forgive me for those terrible thoughts I had about Joe. They were wrong. And you've said you'd forgive me. Prayer is needful for living a clean life. And when you read the prayers in the Bible, and we've read some of them, Nehemiah's prayer. Remember, somebody talked about Nehemiah praying. He prayed for his sin and for the sins of his people. Read Daniel's prayer. You know, the guy put in the den of lions. He used to open his window and pray to God 3 times every day. And once you read, while I was praying to the Lord and confessing my sins and the sins of my people, search me, O God, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Yeah, prayer is confession. And T is for thanks, thanksgiving. I was greatly encouraged at church here about 2 or 3 Sunday mornings ago when we had a Thanksgiving service. And I was amazed at the number of people who had something to thank God for. You got something you can thank God for? We ever think to do that? Man, we Christian people anyway, we should be the most thankful people on earth. And we should tell God. And then S stands for supplication. You know what supplication means? Asking for things. Yes, prayer is asking God. And when we have needs, share it with God. Ask him about it. Lord, Father, I need a wife. I did once, and I prayed like mad about that. And one morning in this very building, in the little middle room there, because that's all the church used to be, this girl arrived, and she wouldn't stop looking at me because we were... But God answered my prayer, and he gave me with a wife that has walked with me for more than 50 years. And I tell you what, that's really saying something, to live for me, with me for 50 years, eh? You can ask God for the things you need. You can ask him for the things that you think you want, but don't be disappointed when he says, no, that's not for you. Because Jesus said, when you pray, or when your children ask you for something, for a loaf of bread, you won't give them a snake, will you? Our Heavenly Father, God Almighty, is like that. It was quite good tonight, actually. They didn't give me a time limit, you poor beggars. Well, the question is, though, in my mind, why should we pray? Why should we? I want to give you two reasons tonight that I think are extremely important that we pray. These two reasons I'm going to give you do not exhaust by a long way why we should pray. But I want to share with you what I think are the two reasons why we should pray. The first one is this. We should pray because Jesus said we should. Did you know that? And if Jesus said we should do something, what do you think, Christians? Should we do it? Luke 11 verse 2. When you pray. You see, the disciples wanted him to teach them to pray. And I'm amazed as we start what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Jesus' first words as he came into that prayer were this: when you pray. Not if you pray. Big difference. So Jesus expected us to pray. And then he gave them the Lord's Prayer, which we've thought about in the last two sessions here. But in verse 9 of Luke 11, Jesus said this: so I tell you, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. All to do with prayer. And in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, it says this: people ought always to pray and not to give up. People ought always to pray and not to give up. And then you have a parable that Jesus told to illustrate this point. And the parable's about a widow, and some injustice is being treated out to her. So she goes to a Roman judge. And these Roman judges, in English language, they had a nickname. They were called robber judges. Interesting, eh? Robber judges. Because they never, ever gave a judgment unless they got paid some money. So if you could pay them enough, they would always see it your way. Well, this lady was a widow. She had no money, Jesus said. So she went to see the judge and she said, "Judge, give me justice." And Jesus said, this judge, he had no thought about God. He didn't care about people. All he cared about was getting money. So he didn't act because the widow didn't have any money. But you know, the widow didn't give up. "Judge, give me justice." And I don't know how long Jesus didn't say how long he remained silent. But in the end, she persisted. And I love the paraphrase you can give what Jesus said. The judge decided he didn't want to get a black eye about this, so he gave her justice. And then he said, you see, the persistent widow, she kept on asking, and even a robber judge will listen if you keep on talking long enough. And he says, "Your Father who is in heaven, he's not a robber judge. He listens to you, and he acts very quickly. He sees your faith in him as you cry out to him, and he answers you in the best way possible." So he says to his disciples and to all the people listening, "I tell you, people, you must keep on praying." So we should pray because Jesus asked us to. But the second reason that we as Christian people should pray is because that's what Jesus did. You a follower of Jesus Christ? Am I? Well, if we are, one of the priorities of our life will have to be praying. And I challenge you to read the life of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's amazing the number of times you find Jesus is praying, especially in Luke's gospel. For him, it was a priority. And Luke records 10 times that Jesus was praying. And more than that, Luke records 12 stories that Jesus tells to teach us about prayer. But one of the priorities in Jesus' earthly life was to pray to his Father. You see, when we become Christians, God is seeking to mold us into the image of his Son, to make us live our lives like his Son did here on earth. He wants us to reflect the attributes and actions of Jesus. Well, we Christians claim to be disciples, don't we, of Jesus? And if you study the word disciples, you find that a disciple makes every effort to learn the teachings of their master and to do what the master does. They copy their actions. So to be true to our calling, brothers and sisters, we need to be people of prayer as we claim to follow Jesus Christ. And it's the life of Jesus that provides the model for our prayer life. I've just put down a few things that I've learned about Jesus as I study his prayer life. And I want to say to you, I don't want you to think tonight that I know everything about prayer and that I'm a great man of prayer. I want to say to you that over the years I've struggled in this area. But one of the things I've found helpful for prayer life is just to get a glimpse of how great God is. And I want to have a relationship with him. So I want to talk to him and tell him all about my desires in life as well, and ask him what he thinks about them, and tell him how great he is. And when you start doing that, prayer's a whole different ball game. Well, here's some things I jotted down very quickly. I'll go through them very quickly. Jesus believed prayer works. That's why he said in Matthew 7, keep on asking and you will receive. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened unto you. You know, Jesus, while on earth, communed with his Father in heaven. How? By way of prayer. Have you ever read John chapter 17? It's a fairly lengthy prayer of Jesus praying to his Father. And it's a real communal or communication with his Father about what he had done, what he thought of his 12 disciples, and what he thought about the future. It's just talking to his Father as to what was going to happen. And have you ever read his prayer in Gethsemane's garden just before he went to the cross? He's under extreme pressure. Hey, if you ever go to Israel and go to Jerusalem, go to the Garden of Gethsemane, eh? It's just an old garden of olive trees. Some of them are 2,000 years old. It's not a very pretty garden. But you go there and you think about what happened there. Jesus prayed What did he say? Who remembers? He said, "Abba, Father, remove the cup that I'm about to suffer from me. But I don't want my will. I want yours to be done." So in his hour of extreme mental anguish, he prays to Abba. It's an Aramaic word. Aramaic was the language that Jesus would have used. And you know what it means? It actually means daddy. It's a little child putting his faith and trust in a real father and saying, "Daddy, I need your help." That's how Jesus prayed. And so I can pray to a Father who greatly cares for me in heaven. Jesus prayed alone. Think of Luke 5. Jesus had healed an advanced case of leprosy. And that was really something, because you see, the religious people, the Pharisees, were looking for the Messiah, and they had a few rules about who was going to be the Messiah. And one of the things he had to do was to be able to heal an advanced case of leprosy. And Jesus did it. And so vast people started to follow him at this stage. And then it says when that started to happen, vast crowds came. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness to pray. He prayed alone, out in the desert where there was going to be no disturbance. Do I do that? I shut myself away sometimes and just commune with my Heavenly Father. That's what Jesus did. Now another time he prayed with others. For instance, we read Jesus took Peter, John, and James up to a mountain to pray. Do you ever get with a group of your friends, with other Christians, and just pray? Well, Jesus did. We're meant to be disciples of his. Jesus prayed with thankfulness. Just about there. Jesus was filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit and said, "O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever. Thank you for revealing them to the childlike. Thank you, Lord." Jesus was thankful. Jesus prayed before making important decisions. Luke 6, Jesus went up to the mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. At daybreak, he called together all his disciples, and he chose 12 of them to be his apostles. When you're facing important decisions in life, be like Jesus. Pray to your Father. And number 7, the last one. Did you know Jesus prayed for us? He did. He didn't forget you. And in fact, he's up in heaven now and he still hasn't forgotten you. He's still praying for you. But he prayed for you and me while he was on earth. Listen to John 17, verse 20. "I am praying for all who will believe in me through their message." And this is what he prayed. "I pray that they might be one just as you and I are one. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me. And so you see, that's what the Lord prayed for us as a group, that we would be so united that people would be able to see that God is real, that Jesus is the only Saviour. And so there's some random thoughts on prayer. We ought to pray because Jesus said so. And number two, because that's what he did. And we are his disciples. How's your prayer life? Eh? How's my prayer life? Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, you're so great. Your mercy and your grace are so wonderful too. That you would even listen to us. That you would want us to talk to you. And thank you that you want to talk to us too. Oh, Father, I just pray earnestly that those here tonight will form a real relationship with you, that they will commune with you. I pray for this church at COV, and the churches in the city, that we Christians will be more like our Lord Jesus and see that prayer must be our priority. Because it's then that in wonderful grace and mercy you work among us. And that's what we want. So speak to us from your word. What's been of yourself, take it and apply it to our hearts tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.